So
they should do that. They should take the Batman story and start it all the way at the beginning of time.
Bad songwriting.
Smoking strange. When I met a penguin, goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press recording, uploaded to his page. Oh, that deranged penguin. For an Antarctic bird, he should talk fast. Oh, that deranged penguin. He made me an unwilling victim of his podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, guess what? It's not quite the Deranged Penguin podcast. It's a mini penguin. It's kind of our one. It's our like Solomon, right? We're splitting the baby up, cutting them in quarters. I think is what he did, right? Drawn and quartered a baby or something. Anyway, yeah. So you know, we're trying to get everybody together to do this show of ours. And everybody's like, oh, well, I can't do it Sunday because I gotta go to sleep on Sundays. And somebody else is like, oh, well, I can't do it Wednesday because I have a dinner. So I was like, you know what? Fine. Everybody gets to have their way, whatever day you want. And so, as I take a sip of a beer, we decided to split up to make up for the lack of podcastery that we've done, you know, like the last few weeks. Month
plus,
or so.
No, it's like each other anymore. We're yeah, actually doing it like the Beatles. So, like, Adam and I are going to record our segment and stuff and put all parts together. And then, then we're going to have intentional silences. And then Brad is going to come in and fill in his part. Yeah. And then Gene's going to add hers on top. And it's going to be like the last two Beatles albums.
Yeah. It's like that.
We never have to see each other or talk to each other again.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we decided to. Which do them all everybody's free time. So today be me and Delner. Tomorrow, Gina, and then I think Thursday is Bradley. Because you know he's so popular. I got work dinner, man. You know people wanted. Nobody wants to dine with him.
Work dinner.
Yeah, I tell you for a fact. One, I'm not sure he has a job. Two. If he had a job, I don't know anybody there that wants to eat with him.
I've never seen him at his workplace.
Me either. I think that's a fabrication. So I was thinking about this today as I was, you know, thinking as I'm wanting to do as I'm driving. You know, I kind of see. I was going to introduce this topic. And I'm just kind of just rambling here. I know it. I can kind of see how, like, say the wasn't she like the queen, evil queen? I don't know what her name was. But in Snow White, there's like the queen chick.
Yes.
And she's like, you know what? Who's the fairest in the land? She asked the mirror, right? Just a weekly checkup. You know, am I still the dopest person here? And the mirror's like, nah. You know, I guess it's like a top 10 ranking, you know? It's like Maxim's, you know, sexiest woman alive, whatever. But that was the mirror. The mirror just gives you the up-to-date ranking. Like, eh, you're getting kind of wrinkly there. You're losing. Fall down the rankings. One, I'll talk with Brad about this, I guess, because he's a little bit more sportsy. But, I mean, it's not altogether dissimilar from what, like, LeBron's thinking. Like, LeBron's the best player in the world, right? But Stephen Curry's been balling out. And so he's like, you know, he checks right. People are like, oh, Stephen Curry's maybe the best player in the NBA. And LeBron's getting a little, you know, perturbed by that. That's all that the – is her name Maleficent or whatever?
No.
That's a different
That's
one?
That's Sleeping Beauty. It's Grimhilda.
Grimhilda. All right, well, her, Grimhilda, she's kind of pissed about it. She just feels the same way. She's like, I'm the LeBron of beauty in this land. And so I got to just, you know, step up my game up. And that's all she's doing. But, so, you know, whatever. The thing I was thinking about it, because I was mostly thinking, well, you know, I kind of feel like that when I'm, you know, I'm writing something and I read somebody else's writing. And I'm like, wow, they're like so much better than me, you know? I kind of feel that same, that nagging second bestness, you know? Like, oh, well, I can see how I, you know, maybe if I had a poisoned apple, I'd, you know,
what
ship
does that
it out
feel
over.
Like?
I wouldn't know.
I've never thought that before.
Interesting how you humans operate. But then I got to thinking how she's like her first thought was, you know what, poison apple, I'm gonna poison this bitch. And you know, she was like in a castle or whatever, I forget the details of it, but she was like a queen or something, right? She has guards. I'm pretty sure in the medieval times people were killed, peasants were killed pretty wantonly, you know, you just send them down there, murder, death, kill, it's done. Now she's a, you know, she didn't have to like sneakify it. There you go, overthinking. Lesson of the day: don't be like Grimhilda and poison an apple when a pike through the heart works just, you know, as effective, you know. Because actually, yeah, because then she poisons, you know, the apple and she dies. She dies all looking intact and whatnot. You know, I'm pretty sure like her throat would have closed up and she would have probably died more ridiculously, but. I don't know. She's magic and whatnot.
But she doesn't die, right? She just falls into sleep.
Yeah, and again, that's what I'm saying. It just convoluted. Pike through the heart. Yeah, pike through the heart.
Just, yeah.
That's how I deal with my
competition. Which wasn't all the way evil, right? Wanted to...
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, what was the need for subterfuge there? You know? Like, why did she have to poison an apple? I'm going to dress like an old lady. I'm going to go there and poison her out. Like, does that make... I mean, I don't understand what... What is the purpose of all that? I wish I could have been her advisor. I'd be like, what are we doing? I could just...
Why are you doing that? It's like, simpler ways to kill.
Yeah, it's like Austin Powers. I could just kill... I could get my gun, go over, boom, he's dead. It's over. We're done. Like, no. And need sharks with freaking lasers on their heads.
Well, that's the thing, though. You don't hear about all the times that happened. Like, all the witches killing other women.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, outright. You don't hear about them because there's no story to be told, right?
So, yeah, because it was like, there was a witch who was like, I'm falling to number two. Let me kill this chick. I'm gonna kill this person. Done. Yeah. And it was
so, so, you know, just like... You only hear about the interesting. You only hear about all the people that just die every day. You only hear about the ones that die in some extravagant way. It's more like sense.
Well, yeah, like guy was taking a selfie and then fell, you know, and died on his dead. It's like, well, right. Yeah, you don't think about the other guy just, you know, his heart just popped. Man, you just kind of yeah.
Exactly.
So, moral of the story is, kill Snow White quicker.
Yeah,
more quickly.
If you want to stay the most beautiful, don't be nice about it. Don't just put them to sleep forever, and don't be convoluted and extravagant. Just simply kill them.
There you go. I think that's a nice lesson for everyone to learn. Yeah,
I think that the apple has some sort of symbolism. I'm sure tied into like creation myth or something. All you know, creation story and all that. In some way, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I didn't realize that till today, honestly, today. I was thinking about it, and, you know, I was formulating that idea in my head as I was like, oh, you know, I kind of see, you know. I was trying to find another way of saying something I said on the podcast before, which is, doesn't it suck sometimes that you realize you're just not really that great at anything? Like, pretty much think of anything that you do, and there is literally at least a billion people better than you at it.
Billion? I don't know about a billion.
There's 7.5 billion people in this world.
I don't know if there's 7.5, like, one-seventh of the population is better at me than everything.
I'm just, well, okay. I'm saying, like, speaking Chinese, definitely there's 1 billion people better than me at that, right?
Yes.
You know,
I don't think there's 1 billion people better than speaking English than me, though.
I don't know.
How many people speak English?
That's what I'm saying. I'm wondering, like, what is that... where do you fall in the English speaking rank? Like, we threw in like all kinds of things, like enunciation, just general pleasantness, construction.
Yeah, sentence construction, complexity of your of your syntax and your word choice.
Yeah, I mean, like, where do you fall? I wish, I had the mirror on the wall.
There are only 335 million speakers of English.
Okay, well.
So I don't think there are a billion people better than me at that. Or you, Adam. Not even you.
Sweet.
There's one thing.
Up in the rankings. great. I could say, well, you know, of the people that have ever spoken English in its current form, because then it changes, right? Like, you know, there's like Middle English. There's people real good at that.
Yeah. But I am not the best at anything, and I have no delusion of that. But there are people, man. There are people who think they're the best. There's a game that I play online, and I'm like, it's the first game I've played in my life that I'm not automatically like in the upper echelons. Like I'm in the bottom 10%. I just broke out of the bottom 10% of players in North America of skilled players. And that's a humbling thing first, and probably indicates my age a little bit, but within that little microcosm of the little tier that I'm in, everybody in there thinks that they're like the best player ever. They want to act like they are awesome. I'm like, dudes, we're fighting for the crumbs here on the bottom of all this. We're not. There's nothing.
I mean, yeah, it's a weird thing, you know, like, because you have that, you know, that's not like, you know, something you came upon. It's like something in you that you want to be the best, right? It's like born, like you're blinking, you figure out how to breastfeed, and then you want to be the best. You're like, I'm going to be the best breastfeeding kid ever. I don't know.
I think it also we need like a small universe and to feel like we can achieve like being the best, because recognizing that you're not the best, that there is somebody, like it kind of kills ambition a little bit. It's like, well,
yeah,
there's no chance. Or what are the chances? 0.0001%. Average a billion, 9 zeros, and then a 1, right?
Yeah, but I guess that's why you kind of change the rules. You're like, well, you know what? That's fine. I don't need to be the best in the world. I just need to be the best in my household. Come here, brother. And then you beat his ass, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, there is something like that. And that's why I kind of like the promotion relegation idea in soccer, because it's professional soccer, but they just say, you know what, for everybody that wants to play, whatever level you are, you can play it, you know, at your level. It's you know, like there's a lot of guys that are really good at basketball but not quite good enough to be that 0.1% to play in the NBA, and so they're like, well where do they go? They go overseas, you know, and they— But it would be nice if we had a nice pyramid here, so you can, you know, people can play professional basketball at a high level and enjoy themselves, make a little living at it, entertain some folks, you know, and fit in a pyramid. But if you're not the best, then you're just kind of tossed out to the wilderness. I mean, playing overseas is pretty difficult, right?
That's what I hear.
Well, I mean, like, so think about it. It's like saying, all right, well, though, you know, you can't teach them music here in America. You just didn't quite make that cutoff for the top 5%, you know, music directors in America. So you can either just give it up, pick a new career, or you can go overseas to China and teach it there. It's like, well, yeah, I'd be really good doing it here in America, you know, where I know the language. Like you said, you're already top 335 million, right?
Exactly.
English speaking. But now you go over there, you got to have it adds a layer of complexity, a layer of difficulty. Mm-hmm. Like, sure, you can do what you're really good at, but now you have to do it in a different country, in a different culture, away from your parents and your family and everything you ever knew and loved.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
True.
You know what I enjoyed? This is a little insight into how this works here on the podcast machinery. Is Brad's always like, we'll say like 30 minutes behind, because we like to make a decision and nothing from Brad. We're like, okay, let's go, and then Brad will text. So what did we decide?
that is the truth. Sometimes I just don't respond. Period. And then like 2 weeks later, I show back up. I'm like, hey.
Yeah, I remember this.
Yeah. But yeah,
so I see you winning in fantasy football, guy. I am doing that.
I'm cementing, further securing my advantage after another destruction win this week. I don't know, man. I don't know what happened. I really didn't think as much about it this year as I usually do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know. It just, you know, it just comes natural, you know.
Not saying that. I'm saying that it's all a bunch of luck. Like, this is the first year that I really didn't recognize a lot of the names. And so I was kind of just picking, like, okay, I looked up what teams were supposed to do well this year. And so I tried to stick to the top, like, four or five teams.
Yeah.
Pick from them. And I think I accidentally picked, like, a third or fourth string person the first week as my, like, starting up. And they didn't even play. And I was like, okay, that's probably not going to work. So.
I mean, yeah, there's an element of luck to this. And we said this before in the podcast, and I've said it here and there. The thing that kind of is lame about fantasy football is that it's really all offense and no defense, right? It's like, yeah, it's kind of luck. It's a luck-based game. But it's really more like, let's see how much you know about football, and we'll test your knowledge of football. And
yeah.
You're just saying, all right, I know that Peyton Manning is going to have a great day today. And so you select Peyton Manning, right?
Yeah.
And so just my knowledge of football versus your knowledge of football, you know, and sprinkle in there some element of research and keeping up to date on the stuff. Okay. But I can't stop you. And so that part is just luck. It's like random chance, right? It's like, well, you know, like any one week you might have the highest score and you might take me on and I have the second highest score in the league. But I lose to you, so I get an L, even though somebody else gets a win, even though they only put up 50 points. Right? So the only real way to see who's the best to do it like rotisserie style, where they basically, you know, like the top scorer in the league gets a certain number of points, and, you know, it's kind of like NASCAR or something. But that's not... It's not as fun as going head-to-head against somebody, like beating somebody, like individually. That's kind of part of the reason that head-to-head fantasy football is so fun. But, you know, I mentioned this and I sent an email out. I think there should be, like, a way you can defend. Like, use my knowledge of your roster, my knowledge of football, still same concept. And I'm like, well, I'm going to stop your guy. That guy's going to score the highest, and so I want to cut him down 50%, and it's my defense against it. And I've been looking around. I haven't seen anybody doing this, like, in any of the automated leagues, like ESPN, Yahoo, or NFL.com or whatever. What do you think about that idea? Do you hate it? Do you think
me?
It's stupid? No.
The guy, listeners?
Yeah. listeners, yeah, but, I mean, you mostly.
Call in and tell us what you think, listeners.
222-222-222.
I think it's an interesting concept. I think it is about knowledge a little bit, and I think there's some skill involved, but I think that it's easy to play and be lucky too. And we're playing in a league where most of the people don't really know what they're doing, and so it is sort of like throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and see what sticks. You know, over the years, some of the same people have consistently done pretty well, so that, I think that says something. But I think that, like, if you get a bunch of people who really know what they're doing, that the skill thing goes up. So you don't have to know a lot, but it helps to know. It helps a lot. And it can be super frustrating. It's like playing Settlers of Catan or something.
Yeah.
Somebody who's never played, they don't have no idea about strategy, they can still win the game.
Yeah.
Just because of RNG. The defense thing, I think, is an interesting idea. I think it's an interesting idea. I think it would be really frustrating and anger inducing for some people who, you know, the third week where you would have won your game if the person didn't. Only have this one superstar player, and so everybody picks them.
Yeah.
To lose their points or whatever. I think it has the potential to be really frustrating, but I think it's one of those things you just have to implement, try it, and refine it over time. Kind of do it as an experiment and see what works, how to make it fair.
Yeah, and that's kind of the cool thing. I think that makes it more in line with, I don't want to say like real life, but it kind of is like real life, right? Like if you have one player that's really good, like say Green Bay Packers, right? They are pretty much Aaron Rodgers and guys that catch the ball but are not really going to beat you with their skill, like a receiver that you're like, this guy is really good. You need two dudes to guard him, right? It's pretty much only Aaron Rodgers. And so you adjust your game plan to stop them. Or say, like, you're, you know, looking at it from a basketball perspective, last season in the NBA Finals was LeBron James because everybody else was hurt, so it was just LeBron James. So you can focus your strategy on him. So I don't think it's so necessarily so different.
Yeah. And then there are those, like, that can overcome. Is your one player good enough to overcome being targeted week to week?
Yeah. Interesting thing about game strategy. I know you play board games and I play. That's kind of how we got together and began our love affair there and whatnot. So this guy on Twitter is Matt Temkin, I think his name. Max Temkin. He was like a co-creator of, what is it, Cards Against Humanity?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and he's like beta testing this new card game he has called Secret Hitler. And he wrote a blog post about, like, I guess his idea for prototyping, like, and just how everybody that makes games like this, like, the way they do it. And a lot of people just grab, you know, a deck of cards and write some stuff on it and then develop the game that way. Or, you know, they just basically use household materials. They don't really get involved into, like, creating the logos or the design or that stuff. And they just, you know, they quickly iterate over it. And
right.
I just, you know, the discussion about this, how you said you need some tweaks, right? You need to figure out if that's working. Is it too overpowered? Is 50% like an ideal defense thing? Or should it be somewhere like 20%, 30%? I don't know. You kind of figure that out or figure out how people react to these rules, you know? It's like Gina said when I told her the idea. She's like, I think everybody just picked a quarterback. And that's true because the quarterback is the highest scoring person. So that's why my original idea was, like, if you apply that to, like, the defense card or play or whatever you want to call it in fantasy football, it would be on the quarterback, but it would only work up to, like, 30%. Yeah. And I did some quick back-of-the-napkin stats adjustment, and I think in our league, the quarterbacks get something, at least the top 13 quarterbacks, so I figured nobody's going to get – it'd be stupid for you to own a quarterback that's, you know, not in the top 13. Although it could be the case, whatever. But they get something like 28% of the total points.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I figured that was decent. If you reduce it down to, 30%, something like seven or eight points, at least in our league. And if you reduce any of the wide receivers or the running backs, which they get about 14 points, that's what their average is. If we cut them in half, it's down 7 points. So it's a, right, you know, whole number reduction of 7 points. So it ends up kind of working out.
I think that's a better idea.
So, yeah. So anyway, so that's what I was saying. It's like if you do 50% on the non-quarterback and then 30% on the other one, it ends up working out on average about the same, at least if we're just, you know, doing averages here.
Yeah, I mean, you could even, like, continue down if you want to make it, like, the tight end sometimes has a killer game, but you could even say, like, tight end and kicker, like, you can totally 100% of there, you know? Like,
yeah, that's true.
You could, to make it an option, and then that if that one team has a kicker that scores 18 points every game or whatever, mm-hmm. I mean, I had some pretty high-scoring games with my kickers, you can just totally destroy that, you know, 100% of their score.
Yeah, and I think, and somebody said, well, you can kind of do it the other way. You can just say, well, I'll boost my one player, and this player will get like 50% extra points, or whatever. You can do it either way. I like the idea of you touching him, the other guy, and kind of playing defense.
It creates more, because right now I'm just looking at. I don't know anybody that we're playing with. I vote every week for myself. I say, who's going to win this matchup? There's no smack talking that happens, you know. Mm-hmm. But the other person never votes for themselves. So it would be nice to, like, have some active poking of them. Like, hey, dude, I'm going to beat you.
I mean, yeah, some of it is because even though, like, I know everybody that's in the league, but there's still only so much you can do because you don't see them in person every day. And somebody mentioned this at work, that the funnest leagues are the leagues that you play with somebody you can talk to every day. Or just because that's the fun, is to talk mess. It's kind of bringing everybody together. And also, like, you know, it's really – we're just, like, manipulating variables here. And we're just saying, who can best manipulate these variables? That's the only way that we can, you know, measure ourselves against each other. Like, I can see how good I am with these constraints. I have 7 slots, you know, and it's like, well, there's only so much I can do. And after a certain point, if you can't get any better players, you know, you're just like, you're maxing out everything you can do. So the only way to add some interest to this thing is to add more variables, and other leagues add more, like, more roster slots. Like, well, now you play with individual defensive players. Right. Okay, that's one way to do it, and I think the other way to do it is to play defense. And I think I like it because it keeps it simple.
It is simple, yeah.
I play in a league where you have defensive players, and, ugh, that's awful.
Well, you don't know any of their names. I don't do that. Nobody knows who the defense is. One thing that, like, I've never been real sure about how it works is trading, making trades.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's like, why would I give another player a good player, you know, unless it's already going to benefit me more, you know? And I guess that's part of it, is you think that that making the trade would be more beneficial for you. But except that I think there's an element of, like, people want it to be competitive. They don't want to just steamroll, you know?
Yeah.
And so they want their friends to, like, they want it to be fun, so there's smack talk and stuff involved. I don't care. I just want to destroy everybody.
I've played in some competitive leagues for money, and I've never wanted to trade. I've never seen a trade that I was like, I got to do this, or this will be beneficial.
Right.
And some other people are like, oh, I like leagues that, you know, there's lots of trades to make it more interesting. But I don't want to trade to trade. It seems weird. Like, what for?
Exactly. Why? Yeah. The only reason you could, like, trade a good player, a decent player, to somebody that you're not worried about beating you for one of their good players, so that you can beat another team or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
I guess you could get real intensive into it, but still, like, I don't know.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about is Fallout 4. Have you played it?
Mm-mm.
Did you want to play it? Yeah, I'm playing it right now. It's actually looking at it right now.
Oh, yeah?
No.
Is it on Xbox One?
I don't know. I think so. But I have a PlayStation 4, not an Xbox One. So I'm playing it there.
I don't have either. So. Oh. Uh-huh. My dad has an Xbox One, though.
So, I think it is available for it. Sure. Have you played any of the Fallout series? Because I was going to ask you, but everybody...
You look it up. I can't remember.
It's like, all right... Post-apocalyptic nuclear wasteland.
It's like every game ever made.
Yeah. Yeah, there's basically zombies there, and also it's a first-person shooter. Mostly because I think they do Skyrim or Elder Scrolls or something like that.
I played the Elder Scrolls stuff. I think I played Fallout 3. Oh, it is Bethesda. I didn't realize it.
Yeah. So... Okay, and, you know, I read this on Kotaku. They said that basically, and I've never played any of the Fallout series, like, what are they called? Entrance into the series? And is that what the official word is that everybody agreed upon? See, I think right now I just fell lower in the English language rankings.
Yeah, you did, man. Now you're 399, whatever it is, 300, whatever.
I'm in the 300 millions, yeah, you're right. Yeah. So... I haven't played any of the other ones, but, like, the review said, this is a good game, Fallout 4 is, but it's not necessarily a good Fallout game. So I wanted to get your opinion, because I know you're a nerd, and you play computer games.
I like the computer.
I don't think I have played any of the Fallout games, now that I'm looking at it. I don't know, though.
So, I mean, all right, so, like... And here's how it's different. In case you're like, well, I don't guys talk about games. Like, a first-person shooter is like your Call of Duty, where you're just running around shooting people in the face, right, because you have your gun. You know, it's pretty much that. And an RPG is – well, I think – I haven't played many RPGs. What is your favorite RPG?
My favorite of all time is probably Final Fantasy III, also known as Final Fantasy VI, or Final Fantasy II, also known as Final Fantasy IV.
What? all right, so can you describe for the layman? And I think that comes from the guy that just laid around. So the guy laying around, and you're just like, all right, here's an RPG, son. Let me explain you. Let me learn you something.
RPG is, so you take on the role, a role, you become a hero of some sort. Usually you have the choice of being like a mage or a fighter, a thief, or a, I don't know, whatever else.
So would you say the R in RPG stands for role?
Role, yes, indeed. And you play that role.
Oh, in a game. In a game. Amazing.
So basically you're on a quest, and it's a story. It's like a playable. It's almost like a choose your own adventure in like playable form is what I'd say, because it's very story driven. It's probably the most story driven type of game there is.
Yeah.
It's as much about the journey as it is about, you're not just trying to beat it or get a high score or whatever.
But enjoy. Yeah. Well, for example, laymans, all you guys, and lay women, I suppose, and upright women and upright men, whatever, whatever your position is. So in this case, like Fallout, all the Fallout games are set again after post apocalyptic America. And I think Fallout 1 is set like pretty much immediately after, and Fallout 2 is like 50, 60 years after. Fallout 3 is like 175 years after, and Fallout 4 is set 200 years after. And they're not really related. You're not like the same character. You're not that kind of thing.
Your character didn't live for 200 years?
Yeah, well, in some cases they do. If they're ghouls and they just, you know, radiation poisoned, live forever. So, but they're all like different aspects of the same situation, which is kind of cool, you know. I guess in the way that The Walking Dead is kind of boring because it's about Rick, you know. Carl, listen. Okay, it's lame. It's like, you know, surely there are other people, you know, experiencing this, you know, zombie apocalypse differently, right? I know The Walking Dead tries to take you through that. Now we'll encounter, you know, utopia and a madman despot. But you know, whatever. So Fallout 4, it's kind of like, so your character, which you can make male or female. Is kind of tricked into being cryogenically frozen right before the bomb goes off. And so then you awake 200 years later, you had to get and your spouse is killed. That's all part of, like, right in the beginning. So that's your mission. You know, Del just said, you know, it's, like, story-driven. Your mission is to, like, get your kid. But – and this is what's funny about it is that you can spend most of your time building up shelters – like settlements and doing all kinds of things and making them self-sufficient and whatever. And it's kind of cool. And it could really be just if you look at it from the story, like, I feel like you would be really, you know, angling to get your kid back, like, right away. They would have a sense of immediacy that wouldn't involve building up a shelter. But, you know, I guess you suspend your disbelief a little bit.
Yeah.
By the way, some people like built up. You know, speaking of Star Wars this week, an AT-AT walker as a shelter, like as a
house.
Yeah, as a house.
Wow.
And you know, other people like they spend time building up these really elaborate like castle structures to dip. And when you look at it, you know, like when you're playing the game, you're like, how in the hell would I even build a shack? Because it seems really hard. And people are like, they design, you know, really intricate, you know, fortresses. Fortress Eye? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I just wondered if you played. I've been playing it, and I've enjoyed it. I liked it. It's good. It's pleasing to me.
That's cool.
Yeah. Everybody, Dell just nodding at me like, okay, man, yeah, cool. So like it's made by Bethesda, and everybody said it's kind of like the other ones that you played, and so that's kind of why I was interested in asking about it.
Well, it's not, from you describing it, sounds a lot like Skyrim. I mean, it's a similar, like, there's a quest, there is a main quest, but there's all this other stuff you can do, and you can just never play the main quest. I think that's kind of fun. Yeah. The thing about about taking your kid, that's kind of a like strong motivating factor. The other games, it's like this cataclysmic event happens and you know it's going somewhere, but it's not like there's not necessarily a sense of the imperative nature. It's almost like the beginning of the Lord of the Rings where the Hobbit, like, it, you don't really realize And it's it's kind of a long stretched out thing. It's not like, oh, we have to immediately do this. No, you discover that you have some special power and you have to kind of discover that and like develop it and all that over time. And so you can make it kind of make the story in your mind. Well, this is, you know, doesn't really become dire until like 4 years later, you know?
Yeah, I was, you know, because like, again, I think the most RPG game that I've played literally is probably NCAA football or you know what, probably Football Manager. And you're like, what? But yeah, because like you kind of build up your manager and you manage these soccer teams, you know, whatever. And like I won the 2047 Champions League. And
it only took you 40 years to
I won the treble, I think. Is it 24? Let me look at it. I screenshot it. 2044.
Of course you did.
Yeah, I did. I was like, this is great. And as I'm saying, like, I didn't really full out imagine it. Like, well, if, you know, I was a creator and create little stories and things. But it's not completely outside the realm of like, it's not a possibility. People have done it. People that play these games. Or, like I said, I mentioned NCAA football. People would write, I used to, you know, when I was back when the internet was younger, right? People would go on like IGN forums and write stories about them taking over a team. Be like, and, you know, Dell Smith takes over, Southern Miss, and he's going to rebuild them back to glory. And they would write, you know, a narrative around them playing the video game, and people would read it and enjoy it, and that was kind of a thing. You know, like about them just basically playing the dynasty mode where they get Southern Miss and turn them into a powerhouse and whatever. And I think probably the best one I've ever read was about a guy I've mentioned before, Brian Phillips, guy runs Run of Play. He did that for Football Manager one where he took like a super lower level team and took them all the way to the top. But he's a great writer and he did it and it was, you know, it was great. It was more about him writing than it was like the game. So what I'm saying is that everybody's kind of done a little bit of it, right? It's like playing, it's like fantasy, right? I've never really done this, but some people take it seriously. Like, I don't know if you've done it. And I'm leading to a question here, I promise. But people, like, they're like, okay, my character is a thief, and they only thieve. They only steal things. Or they'll say, my character is honest to a fault, and they will only do the good thing, and they won't ever do anything bad. They will never steal. They will never kill anybody or, you know, blah, blah, blah. Did you ever take it to that extreme and do it like that way? Did you ever like, all right, my character is, you know, a drug addict? Because some people played it. They played it as a drug addict.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the only thing they do.
I'll have a character that is like my character that's like my avatar or whatever, and that's kind of the does the right thing, sort of like what I think is the right thing. Now there are some, like, you can make some, I think, some like pansy type decisions that I wouldn't necessarily make in like Skyrim, for example, but.
Pansy decisions.
But I also like playing, or I'll like, so, you know, I choose to be, okay, I'm going to be this thief and I'm going to be this kind of like scoundrel. And so like, I try to develop what I think it should be, or I want to be the most evil character in the game. So I like, seek out and try and get bit by a vampire and turn into a vampire and a werewolf and like amass all the like dark power and energy that you can get. It's fun. I mean, it's fun to like, and it kind of like, you get to live out.
Well, that's what it is, right? It's a role playing game. Yeah. Right? You got to do that, right? That's what the fun of it is.
And explore that side of things that you wouldn't explore in your real life or whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
So I think it's fun. I think those games in particular, like, are more fun for people, like people who are imaginative, creative people anyway. Like, I think they have fun doing that because it's like taking what they already have in their world and being able to express it in a box, in a sandbox, essentially.
Yeah, I think I have like those kind of tendencies in that I appreciate them. Like, like I said, like those threads where people were writing up like their stories, like super detailed, like with screenshots or like they would take photos or you know what I mean, just whatever. And like the recruits that they're getting, they would write backstories on the recruits, like
that's serious business.
Like Trey Johnson is a young guy and he had blah blah blah. And so I think, you know, they like long and then fake interviews, fake press conferences, just everything. And like I said, like some of them pretty good. Like this guy's actually pretty good. Like this is quite interesting. But I never got to the level where I do it myself. And I don't know if some of that was just me being uncreative, because I could, I you know, I think sometimes in my head I couldn't imagine it. I'm like, you know, I pretend to be a radio show host right now, right? but yeah, I don't know if it's that or just, I don't know what it is, but I do appreciate it.
I think on some level, like,
some level I have something else to do.
Yeah, like, that. I think, and you have to really commit to it. I mean, you have to commit to that world. And I think, for somebody that's like, oh, I want to be a creative writer, and here are my laws, here are my rules, here are my restrictions. I'm going to write about this experience playing Football Manager. It's not really, like you said, it's not really about the game, it's about a vehicle for their writing and developing their writing style, you know, and exploring their creative output and stuff. You do stuff for comics, like you've drawn comics and stuff kind of as a hobby and stuff. And, same sort of thing, I think.
Yeah. How different is that really from writing a novel?
No,
from,
it's not.
From George R.R. Martin writing this. I mean, basically, you know, he just created a world, and then we all go live in the world. And we're like, oh, it's so cool. Right. And then we watch the show, right? Same thing. We talk about him like the real people. Like, oh, Jon Snow, he's such a bitch. Can't believe it. You know, and then they're not real. It's the same way. It's not very different. Just using, like, a framework. So, like, video games are kind of similar that way. Speaking of worlds and going into them, I think this Thursday you're going to be going into the Star Wars world.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. My dad bought tickets for the family to go see Star Wars on Thursday. I'm excited. Very excited.
I think, I don't know, this is me just being ornery, I guess. I think because of the hype, because it's owned by Disney, I don't like Disney. I don't like them. I'm less excited than I would have been, say, if I were 15. You know.
Yeah. But it's J.J. Abrams, right?
Yeah, I don't like him. I don't like his lens flares.
Yeah.
I don't like what he did to Star Trek.
I like it. I like Star Trek. I thought the new Star Treks were some of the best ones, and I think it's gonna be good. I'm already sure it's better than the first three. Like the first two.
Well, the prequels, you mean?
Yeah.
The prequels? Okay.
Yeah. One and two, and probably three. Three was okay. But just to see the story and see something, some fresh, like, outlook. I'm not, at this point, when the one, two, and three came out, I was like, these, like, are destroying the idea of the mythology of Star Wars. It's already been destroyed now. So, like, I'm cool with just going into the world and seeing some cool stuff happen.
Yeah.
Some Jedi stuff.
That makes sense. I didn't like the idea of the prequels because it can't get any forward momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we talked about this before when we're talking about, like, Gotham City, like why I don't want to watch the show Gotham. Cuz I don't want to see again, if like the and I'll reiterate it here because I know nobody's going to go back and listen to the other one. Although that was quite a fun episode. Why would you – if the story starts with Batman, he's Batman, right? Boom. Guy in a cape fighting crime. That's kind of what you need to know, right? You don't really need to know whatever else is going on. You don't really need to add some flavor to it, and you can kind of drop it in here and there. Like, all right, how did Batman come to be? Well, his parents were killed, dedicated his life to fighting crime. Okay, that's all I need. You know, I don't need the timeline. Like, well, what did he do in seventh grade? Well, you know, he had a test. I don't need to know the origin story of all the villains, you know, unless it pertains to the story right now going to the future. I don't need just a full series dedicated to, you know, who the Penguin was and how it came to be. Because where does it stop? We just go all the way back to, you know, to people crossing the Bering Strait, right?
Yeah.
I don't need that in my life. I don't care. And so
they should do that. They should take the Batman story and start it all the way at the beginning of time. And like all the interactions, like how this one like family line is like destined, like has some connection to bats, like all the way through time. It can last 100 years. The show can last 100 years. Yeah.
Quack like bat. I don't know. They wouldn't say that because it's speaking English, and English didn't exist then. But yeah, I mean, so same kind of deal with the with Star Wars there. I think that's, for me, the biggest reason why I didn't like 1, 2, and 3. Because I didn't, I mean, do you really need to know how Darth Vader became Darth Vader? I mean, yeah, you'd like to know, but more in the way of the way, like, say, was it Game of Thrones, the books tell you? Like, people hint at it. Or they talk about it. Like, yeah, well, you know, but it's something kind of important at one time, but it doesn't really matter because what's important is right now. There's life or death happening right now. We don't need to go back and figure out how Anakin Skywalker came, whatever, because people are dying here now, right?
Yeah.
We don't need to see his angsty face. Yeah, so that's I think that's why this will be at least better than that, because it's a new story. It's moving it forward.
Yeah, there's no – I have no expectation about it. There's nothing like – well, it has to get from here to here, and I hope it does it this way. Like, at this point, I have no idea, like, what is going to happen. Like, I've heard, like, rumors that Luke is, like, succumbs to the dark side in between. And I was like, that'd be cool, actually, if he becomes, like, a Sith Lord. I'd dig that. I don't think it's really going to happen. It's Disney. But
well, I think Disney cool. did have Scar throw his brother off a cliff, right? So
that's a good point.
Well, all right. That was actually a story they stole from. That was a story. It's called like Simba the Blue Lion or something like that. The White Lion. Disney's some thieves, man. There's some thieves. Disney's primary reason why you know, we don't have a whole lot of stuff in the public domain, even though we should.
True. Right.
So I don't like them, man. What else was I going to say? So you're excited about it. I don't know when I didn't buy, like, advance tickets. They were selling them, like, what, months in advance?
Yeah, months in advance.
I didn't do all that. I'll probably see it later. Like, not now, but later, kind of deal. I'll try to avoid spoilers. I'm kind of hoping, and this is me just being a hater, I'm kind of hoping it fails a little bit.
Yeah.
Fail at Disney. I'm going to go see it. I'll watch it. I like Star Wars.
Big fan of how much, like, so Disney owns it now, like, marketing, like, everything is Star Wars.
I saw a Star Wars branded Moleskin notebook. Moleskine. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? What do I need? Can you get away from me? Please, Darth Vader. Can I not see you? Just for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Cups. I think somebody's had it on some oranges. Like, what?
Yeah. No mommy, shame.
Mommy. Yeah. Mommy, no can shame. We buy these oranges? They have, I don't even know their names now. The new
Rilo,
people.
Rilo Ken. I don't know. I've tried to avoid as much of it as knowing anything about any of it. Yeah.
So. I mean, it really just hypes it. You know what I'm more excited about? Two things. One, Mad TV is going to have a special. January, like a 20th anniversary special on the 12th of January. And two, by the way, if you're in San Antonio, Ari Spears is going to be here the 14th of January. So you watch a special and you go see what Ari Spears is doing besides being fed. And the other thing I'm excited about, Independence Day 2. Independencer. Yeah, I think it's actually called Resurgence or something. Whatever. It's Independence Day 2. I don't think we're all going to be confused about what it's called. Wouldn't that be kind of good, like, if you went up to the box office and you had to get it right, you know, like, you had to say Transformers 4 Revenge of the Fallen, you know, and then, like, you know, if you're like, yeah, the new Transformers, like, what is it really called, sir?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
No? No? Like, the new Star Wars is called Star Wars The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens.
Yeah. So if you didn't say it right, then you can't get in.
Yeah.
No, you don't like that? I can tell you don't like that. Not at all. What are you doing for Christmas, man?
No plans. I think I'm driving a friend to Jackson to the airport. So he doesn't have to leave his car for like a month and pay $1,000. But cool. otherwise nothing. it's gonna be pretty quiet. It's not really, like I was saying, like, I think because I avoid media and I don't go a lot of places these days, like, it doesn't feel like Christmas. It's not cold or anything. Like,
yeah, I saw that. I was getting my hair cut today, and I saw that they were talking about how, like, I guess last year in Buffalo they had a crazy blizzard and whatnot, and excuse me, now it's like 80 degrees. Same thing here now. And San Antonio's been like 80 degrees all week. Gina brought out like the jackets and the coats and things from the storage, and then we haven't worn them. But, you know, like it's been super warm. So,
yeah.
And that's here. That's in New York or whatever. So we're going to go to Spain. They say it's cold there, but I don't believe that.
You don't? It's a lot farther north than it is here.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't believe it. I'll take some shorts and a tank top.
You'll be fine.
I should be all right. Should be totally fine, I think.
Y'all going for Christmas?
No, we're going to go after, so like the 30th of December. Cool. Please don't go rob our home.
I will.
Listeners. Yeah. Well, I think we're wrapping up. We're nearing the end. It's not Christmas because it doesn't feel cold.
It's not. It's hot here, too. It's weird.
It's not cold, is it? Yeah. So, thanks for listening to this episode of Deranged Mini Penguin. So, if you're listening now, and so then today would be Tuesday, if you're listening now, or like maybe listen some later time. The next episode is going to be me and Gina tomorrow. We're going to record that one. And then Thursday. This Thursday of this week, you know. So if you're listening, you know, in the moment, want to sound weird because you're like, what, Fallout 4? That was like 5 years ago. What, yeah. The new Star Wars? That was the greatest movie ever. You know, whatever.
Adam was so wrong.
Way wrong he was. Everybody just talks like Yoda.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
I'm kind of glad. Hopefully we don't see Yoda. Or I don't want to see. I don't even like that they even
have... Yoda's dead. How could he...
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Is he dead?
Yeah, he died in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, I don't even want to see him in flashbacks or anything. I don't even like that they even have Chewbacca there. Like, I mean, what did he say?
I like that, man. Chewbacca's awesome.
You got a Chewbacca? You gonna end it? You gonna end it with a Chewbacca... Roar?
Nah, I don't really...
Gargle?
I've never tried to do that. Huh?
All right. And with that, we'll leave you. Oh, listener. Thanks for listening.
All down here from here.
Yeah.
Know that.